feels guilty. And chapter 2, he's going to find the Jews guilty. And in chapter 3, he's going to determine that everyone is guilty and everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for chapter 1, it says that in verse 20 or 21 that they were without excuse. Or 20 it says they were without excuse. And then in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." And he starts talking to the Jews, and he talks to him more in chapter 3. We'll get into that hopefully tonight. And so in chapter 2, the problem in the first verse was about judgment. It wasn't with making the judgment or showing where somebody where was wrong, but the problem was the underlying sin in there. And we'll definitely see that develop more as we go along as well. And then we covered how he will render every man according to his deeds in verse 6, that wasn't the judgment seat of Christ, that was the great white throne judgment. And then last thing we covered was the difference between the soul and the spirit and the body and in is respect to that. Okay, we're going to pick it up there in verse 10. In verse 11, it says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." Okay? Now, humans operate on a completely different set of values than the Lord does. And I know I'm sure that you understand that, but this is one huge way where I see the Lord operating on a different set of values than we do. He says there's no respect of persons with the Lord. Now, if somebody, maybe Michael's sister or something like that, did something wrong to him and he was trying to do something, she didn't, but if she was and he was trying to bring her into line about it, and maybe he would say stern things to her, she would say to him, How could you say that to me? You're my brother. And have you ever been in a situation where you would try to hold somebody accountable, and because they were related to you, they didn't want to be held accountable, and they say, "How can you talk like that to me because you're family," right? The Lord's not that way. And that's a blessing, unless you like the good old boy system where Uncle Joe can hook you up all the time. The Lord's not like that. It doesn't matter if he is Moses or Abraham, he will hold everybody accountable to the same set of values, right? And now that we have the New Testament, Jesus Christ has died on the cross, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter in." Doesn't the Bible say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God"? I don't know if you were a little tyke and ever went to SeaWorld or Six Flags and wanted to ride the ride. But you know what happens is you go up to the ride and it says you have to be this high, right? And there's a little man with his arms out and you step up and try to see if you're the right height, right? And if you come short, you can't ride, okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you do not equal the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you can't enter in. And there is no respect of persons with the Lord. And that's why you need Jesus Christ, because his judgment is according to truth. And he won't give you a pass just because he likes you or you've done something for him or you mowed his grass or something like that, right? And that's a wonderful thing about the Lord. Let's just look at a couple verses that show this. Look at the book of Deuteronomy and verse 10. And the reason I go over this is because one thing that has been difficult for me, but I've had to learn, is that whether it's myself or anyone else, we have to be held to the same accountability. You don't get a pass just because you're my church member or you're my friend. I don't give a pass just because I'm your pastor. My sister doesn't get a pass just because my sister, right? And whenever you get into a bunch of interpersonal relationships or a congregation, that will definitely be a point of contention or bitterness if you see somebody granting favor to someone just because they like them, right? How many of you have seen that at the workplace or in a family and it's really not set right with you? And the Lord is not like that. And I'm very thankful for that. But you know what? Because the Lord's not like that, guess what? We shouldn't be like that either. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and look at verse 17. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17. And I always use this when I'm witnessing to people. It says this, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, a great God, almighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." You know, you can't bribe the Lord. You can't do something for him to appease him. That's not how it works. And I have often wondered when the cop pulled up to give me a ticket if I could slip him some money and he would let me go. And maybe some of them would. Don't try that, by the way. I've never tried it, but do not try that, okay? Because you'll probably get in a whole lot of more trouble than you would with just the ticket. But the whole, listen, lost people, that's the system they work on. They think, I've offended God and I've done this against him. So you know what I'm going to do? Brother Phil, I'm going to go to church. You know, I got drunk last week, so I'm going to go to confessional. You know, I did something really horrible last week, so I'm going to tithe and I'm going to give something to the Lord this week. I did this, and you hear guys all the time tell their wife or their girlfriend or whatever it is, they'll say, I'll make it up to you. Listen, you cannot make up for sin. You cannot make up for sin. The only thing that can make up for sin is the righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever you've done something wrong, don't bargain with God and say, I'll make it up to you. Say, Lord, I know you don't take reward, and I know that I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. Would you wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ and forgive me? Because that's the only thing God accepts for your offense. He doesn't take rewards, and he doesn't regard persons. Just because you have a good character or you're funny or you're likable doesn't mean anything to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. All that matters is if you come short or not. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. And I always include this when I'm witnessing to people, maybe not these verses, but this theory, because they always think that they can do something and turn over a new leaf and make something up to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19, the Lord says this right here. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, or a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of righteousness. And just very personally, you know how that could work in the life of a preacher? Yeah, I know this guy has done a lot of bad things, but guess what? He supports the church in a big way, right? And whether people will admit it or not, that can be a temptation. Or you can say, you know, this person, when I used to do construction work, I used to have toxic people, and I'd be like, yeah, he's horrible, but you know what? He does this, and I can get a good deal if he does this for me. And you know what the Lord's been showing me? Look, cut all that stuff out. Just do what's right and stop looking to see what you're advantaged by that person. Just look to see what you're advantaged by serving the Lord and doing what is right. Don't rest judgment. Don't take a reward. And listen, I don't think we'll ever be able to accomplish this completely as humans, because we are humans and our relationships between each other matter. But the Lord's not that way, and I'm very thankful that he's not that way. On your way back to Romans, stop by Job, and you're going to stop by Job chapter 34, and we'll open the door there at verse 19. Job 34 and verse 19, as we're headed back to Romans. The Bible says here, "How much less to him that accepteth not the person of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they're all the work of his hands." And as Christians, you know what we can do, or as people, you know what we can do? We can look at a person that's a prince or something, and we can be intimidated by that. But the Lord's not intimidated by that. And how that works is, you know what? Your dentist needs Jesus Christ just as much as your janitor does, right? Your doctor needs the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as your attorney. And that stuff doesn't mean anything to the Lord. If the Lord is in the elevator with the Spurs or Manu Ginobili or whoever these guys are, you know what? They need Jesus Christ just as much as the bum on the street. And you know what? We have to operate as Christians as we're willing to witness. We're willing to treat all people like the Lord wants to do it. And not when it comes to judgment. Don't rest judgment based on that. So the Lord is telling the Jews here, because you know what the Jews will say, and we'll see this, that I'm the son of Abraham. I'm the seed of Israel. They'll say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, but the Lord doesn't care about that. He just cares about what's happening. All right, look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. Okay, now the key word there is they've sinned without the law, shall also perish without the law. So the question again comes up is, what about the people that have never heard, right? What about the heathen? That was Romans 1:20. They're without excuse, right? As many have sinned without the law shall perish without the law. What about the people that have never heard about Jesus Christ? What about the people that didn't know that the speed limit was 70 and they were going 90? They will get a ticket, okay? As many have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So, and we'll see this here in chapter 3, but you know what God judges the Jewish man by at the judgment seat of Christ? You were under the covenant of Moses, right? And the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and you stole, right? But, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, but if you've sinned without the law, then he judges you by your conscience. Look at verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, just think, Gentiles were not the Jewish people. They didn't have the Old Testament books of Moses. They didn't have the temple. They didn't have the sacrifices. They were all the people around them that were non-Jewish, the Romans, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. And that's the conscience. Okay, you say you don't have the law and says thou shalt not lie. Well, why do you feel bad when you lie, right? Which shew the work of the law written in their hearts. Because God puts something in everybody that whether they educate it out of you or not, when you're a child, you know certain things are wrong and nobody had to tell you. When you reach a certain age, you're like, no, there's something wrong with that. And that's something the Lord put in us. It's like the butterflies. And I don't know why they fly from Mexico to Canada. It seems like a long trip, you know? But everyone's trying to cross the border. And they fly up there. And why do they do that? Nobody tells them to do that, right? And I don't know how they'll be able to get through the new wall, but that's a good reason. Maybe we should stop the law because the butterflies can't get here. But what I'm saying is when they go there, the Lord, nobody puts that in them. The Lord put it in them. Nobody tells them. They don't say, hey, there's not a king butterfly that says, all right, come on, kids, we're going to go to Canada, right? They have free health care up there. They don't say that. We're just going to pass through America because whatever reason, but you see, God puts some things in you. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. And we'll hone in on that in a second. So the morals of man come from not evolution, but God. And that's what I always ask the people that believe in evolution. Why do you think certain things are wrong? Why do you want to hold people accountable? Who says that it's wrong to kill? If there's no law, I mean, survival of the fittest, right? I'm more fit than you, so I can kill you. But they don't understand that, or they try to educate themselves out of it. That didn't come from evolution by man getting better, but they came from the Lord. And God can hold the people accountable by their conscience. That's the only way they knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway. You know, you can't do that with an animal. I mean, my dog... I can't, I preach to it all the time, and it never repents. Because animals and people are different. We have a conscience, right? I have a boxer, and you know what I've seen that boxer do? These cute little kittens climbed into our yard because the neighbors didn't care about them, and the boxer took them out of this world. And they were the cutest little kittens, and I wish I could describe them to you, but they were beautiful little kittens. And you know what the boxer did after our female, Lucy, or Bella is our dog's name, right? You know what she did after that? She was happy. The kids are crying, but the dog can't be held accountable because it's no conscience. And it says in verse 15, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. And since the Lord knows all things, that's what he's going to use to condemn them. Did you know you shouldn't have killed them? You killed them anyway. Their conscience also bearing them witness. In verse 15, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. How is it that we know something is wrong and then we'll have this battle that goes place? Well, maybe I can do it because of this, and maybe I can do it because of that. And our thoughts are all either accusing us for not doing something, or they're trying to accuse. You know, my thoughts, how they work is they try to allow me to do evil things, and they try to accuse me when I do good things. That's how my thoughts work. Like, I'll do something that's good and right and I should do, and it's difficult to do, and because of how it affects other people, my thoughts will always say, see, maybe you didn't do the right thing there. But you know what? Thank the Lord I have a Bible, and I can point to say, no, yes, right here I did do the right thing. Your mind plays tricks on you and gives you a license for the evil that's in your heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, look here, and we'll be there later anyway, but look here. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay? That's how the Lord holds you accountable. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 15. And this is where you've heard about, well, what about babies and things like that, right? Romans chapter 4 and verse 15. And here's where one verse where we get what we call the age of accountability. That phrase is not in the Bible, but the teaching's in the Bible. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So if there's no law in the conscience, or there's no law in writing that you profess to adhere to, like the Ten Commandments, where there's no law, there's no transgression, right? So a little baby, they're born into this world evil. And people don't like to say that, but if you've ever had a baby and they fight you and they get so mad and scream when they're mad, you know, sometimes if they had a gun, they would shoot you, right? But they don't know that that's wrong and evil, and the Lord doesn't like that. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so that's why and have you ever, and we have this in our justice system. Have you ever heard of that they can't stand account by reason of insanity? Has any of you ever heard that? Because they say their mind is messed up. They can't be held accountable. Maybe they need to be institutionalized, or maybe we need to protect society from them. But if they're insane, they can't stand account for what they've done. Because that's in the Bible, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So what happens when a small child dies? Well, remember when the Lord was telling him to go into the promised land, he said, everybody's going to die except your little ones that had no knowledge of good or evil in that day. They're the ones that are going to enter in. And so that's where we get that from and such verses like that. Right? Romans chapter 2 in verse 14. But that's not the people that have never heard, because they have the law written on their conscience. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says this: "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these are a law unto themselves." And there it is again. Verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." You see, the judgment is not only according to truth, and it's according to a man's deeds, but the judgment is going to be according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter, did you do good or did you not do bad? In this present age, in the church age, it's going to be, have you received Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Doesn't matter if you were a good person and you've done many things and you've read many scriptures and said many prayers, the judgment is according to my gospel. And if you ever know what the complete definition of the gospel is, it's Romans chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 is the definition of the gospel. All right. It says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And one thing that is good about the judgment of God that I think even lost people can appreciate is if, you know, most, or I think half of people, half of murders go unsolved, right? But they're not going to go unsolved, because one day God's going to judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And that gives me a great deal of peace, because when somebody does somebody wrong and we don't know who it does or who they steal from it, you know, they're not just going to get away with it. They might have got away with it here on earth, but the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." I don't have to worry about that, because I don't have to do the justice, because the Lord will. Okay? The Bible says, "He knoweth the secrets of the heart." The Bible says in Daniel that there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. It says that He's a revealer of secrets. And in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, when I started growing as a Christian, and after I got saved, there were a lot of things that I did that I kept locked away in my closet, right? And I would think, that was a long time ago, and nobody ever knows about that. But then I read these verses that God will judge the secrets of men. And God, time is immaterial to God. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is outside of time, okay? So to God, your offense 10 years ago is no different as your offense today. And why do we always think that time cannot justify you? Only God can justify you. And whether you're saved or not, you know what you ought to do one day is you ought to take the door to that closet where those bones are, no matter how far back they were or how young you were, those things that you think about at times and they grieve you and they bother you, the reason they grieve you and bother you is because you haven't done anything with them yet. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to open the door and bring Him your dead skeletons and say, "Lord, this is what I've done, and I know You died for me." And you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ can reach deeper than the stain is gone. And I've done a lot of evil things in my life that I would not tell other people about, but when I think about them, it doesn't bring guilt. You know what it brings? An appreciation for the Lord, and a humbleness and a thankfulness that the Lord forgave me for that, and appreciation that the Lord paid for that. So it's not healthy as a Christian or anyone to keep these things hidden away and locked away. I remember one time I went up to the hospital up there, the Audie Murphy, the VA hospital up there, and somebody called me up there, and there was an old Vietnam vet up there, and he was having heart trouble, and they were saying that he might not be able to make it, and things like that. And I asked him, are you saved? And he said, no. And I said, well, what's troubling you? What's going on? And he said, way back in when I was in Vietnam, he said, I had some orders, and I ran over some children that were in the way. I just drove over them. And he said, I can always hear their screams and their cries. And he said, I've always drank all my life to drown it out. And he said, the day after that happened, I got a call when they called me in, and they said, hey, and I don't remember his name. And they said, come on in here. And they said, you have a slip or whatever it is. You have to go back to the States. And they said, what happened? And he said, your son was run over by a drunk driver that very same day. And so he came back and went to the funeral of his own son. And the whole time he's thinking, is this God holding me accountable for what I've done? Right? But instead of dealing with that, he just kept it all bottled away, covered up with alcohol and other things like that. But I promise you this, because I have a Bible here that promises this, God's going to bring every secret work into judgment. Everything is going to be dealt with. Okay? And I have determined that a deathbed is not a good time to deal with things like this. The deathbed's not a good place to deal with secrets. Some men's sins are open beforehand, and we deal with them here, and we deal with them in the news, and we deal with them in the courts, and we deal with them in marriages, and we deal with them here. Some men's sins are open beforehand, but others follow after going into judgment. And the Bible says this, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did, you know what you can do? You can take those secrets and you can take care of them now. Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, right? There's some things that are going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ, but there's some things you can deal with here before you ever get there. And I would advise you, if you haven't done that already, to do it. And go before the Lord and pull out those things, whatever they may be, and whenever the Lord brings them to your mind, talk to the Lord about them. Get forgiveness for them. And then when the devil tries to bother with you, them after that, see, because the devil's the accuser of the brethren, I already talked to the Lord about that and we got that taken care of, right? Because you know what the devil does is he tries to make people or feel bad about themselves. You're no good and you're worthless. And you know what the Lord does? There's a secret that needs to be taken care of. Let's take care of this. But the Lord never brings you feelings of worthlessness. He died for you. And the Bible said to sinful men, you're of more value than many sparrows. So don't care how evil you are and how wicked things you've done. You're of more value to the Lord than many sparrows. He just wants you to take care of those things. So, we can keep secrets, but they're going to come out one day or another, so you might as well tell the Lord about them now and get them dealt with. All right. Then you have here, it says, judgment is according to my gospel. So, judgment is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ in verses 17 through 29. And I have this, all stand on the same level before the justice of God, and all are in need of the salvation that God has provided. Now look what he says to these self-righteous Jews here, who think that they're better than the Gentiles because they're Jewish people and they have the temple. He says this here in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God. You say, we're God's people. We have the law. We have the temple. And knowest thou His will, and approvest things that are excellent, more excellent, being instructed out of the law. So, not only did they have the law, but they knew the law, and they could tell you whether something was right or wrong according to the law. They could approve things that were excellent. They could say yes or no because they had the law. And that's what they made their boast in. But you know what the Lord said? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. The Bible says this, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law, and you go about to kill me? It says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4, trust not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your heart, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land I gave you fathers forever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery? You see, there's the law. Swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after the other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. So you know what he's doing? He's holding them accountable. You say you know the law, and you're saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and you're doing all these other things. And he's going to go through the law here. Look at verse 18. And knowest thou his will, and approvest things are excellent, being instructed out of the law? Look at verse 19. And art confident that thou thyself are a guide to the blind? We all need to take this personally here, because this is how God feels about people that, look, we're a guide to our children. We're a guide to the people that we have influence with, right? And that means something to the Lord, and don't use it lightly. And if you do, he won't treat it lightly. Are you a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness? Are you? I mean, let your light so shine before men, and you have lost people around you every day. And are you a guide to them, a light to them? Do you make your boast? If they came to you, could you tell them how to escape the torment of hell and how to have a relationship with the Lord and how to be born again and how not to how to go to heaven and spend eternity with the Lord? That's what we say. An instructor of the foolish. Sometimes the foolish doesn't want to be instructed. A teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You know what the Jews called the Gentiles? Blind, in darkness, ignorant, babes. That's what they called the Gentiles. And they said they had the truth. And it says in verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself. And they say if you don't know, teach, right? The best way to learn is to teach. But please make sure that when you're teaching, not only do you teach other people, but you first teach yourself. Because it's no good to give out information that hasn't changed your life and hasn't helped you. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And here's the law, right? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. So once again, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. The issue is not with the judgment. The issue is with the hypocrisy. The issue is not with the truth. The issue is with the other underlying sin. The issue is not getting the mote out of their eye, but it's getting the beam out of your eye that he's telling them that they're doing. Context there. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Okay? So let's pause there. How is the name of God blasphemed through them? Because they said not to steal, but they stole, right? And he said it was blasphemed among the Gentiles. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And you know what he did, the adultery and the murder. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to what? Blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Because the Lord needs other people to know that he holds his own servants accountable for things as well, right? And howbeit, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And how we give occasion, look at Ezekiel chapter 36. You've all heard, oh, he calls himself a Christian and look what he's doing, right? And that's what, even though it's not a valid excuse on their part, it's not something that should be said about us. And where it is said about us, we should take accountability and repent of it. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 19. The Bible says here, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their ways and according to their own to their doings I judged them, and when they entered unto the heathen whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are thy people of the Lord, and are gone out forth of his hand. When they entered, they profaned my holy name. So the Lord brought judgment on them, and they said, look, these were God's people, and look at all these problems that are happening to them because their sin, right? They profaned his name and caused them to blaspheme. But I had pity on them for my holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore they say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, you have profaned among the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. So, whether you are concerned about your testimony or not, guess who's concerned about it? God. And what do you think about a parent that doesn't hold his children accountable? You say, I'm not so sure if that's a good parent, right? What do the heathen think about all these people that do all this stuff? And look, God holds them accountable. You know why? Because whether you and I are concerned about his name and his testimony, the Lord says, my name is holy, and I'm concerned with it. And so you want to do all that stuff and you want to name the name of Christ and live like that? Okay, you can do that, but you're going to have problems in your life, and people are going to know that these problems are because of these actions, and I'll be sanctified because I'm going to do it. And the scariest thing to me when people live and don't give account and they don't care about their testimony, I don't really have much skin in the game. I'm not worried about their reflection on me so much as I'm worried about the Lord's going to... Look, if there's anything I've learned is you can't do wrong and get away with it. You can't do wrong and get by, no matter how hard you may try. And nobody gets away with it even in this life. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And if you don't want bad crops, don't sow bad seeds. and you're not hurting the church, and you're not hurting your parents, and you're not hurting the preacher, and you are injuring yourself. The Lord says not to play on the interstate because he does not want you to get run over by a car. You know? That's how the Lord is. People always say, if they're going to... Now, here's what I want you to understand. You can't do right and get away with it either. And people will always talk about you. Okay? There will always be conversations about you. Just don't give them something to talk about. And when they say, remember what you did, say, I do remember what I did. And I remember it was wrong. And I remember I told you that it was wrong, and I'm sorry for it, and I should not have done it. And I said, would you forgive me? Whether you forgive me or not, I took care of it with the Lord, and I do acknowledge that that was wrong. You can talk about it all you want. It does not bother me. But thank you for pointing that out. Thank you. But I've taken accountability for it. Listen, you know what? Please pay attention to what people are talking about you about. And don't just get mad. Search it and see if there's truth in it. And where there is truth in it, take care of it, take accountability of it, get it straightened out with the Lord. And then after that, let them talk. They will always talk. People will always talk. They always will. And the Bible shows you why they do talk. Look at these couple verses. They're encouragement to me, and then we'll. Look at Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. And this is how we're supposed to live our lives. And Christians will allow a lot of things for themselves that the heathen won't allow for them, right? And if you're allowing yourself a liberty that a lost person don't allow you, maybe you should reconsider that a little bit. Look at in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, you know, you've got to be consistent, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And you know what? When people, the Bible said the heathen were raging, right? And when people say, how dare you, and you all this and this, and I always say this, well, what specifically are you talking about? I mean, I get the fact that you don't like me. And that's okay. And I do not say the feeling's mutual, whether it is or not, right? But if that's okay, you don't like me. But can you give me a specific answer where I'm an ogre? What are you talking about? Because people will just throw up a lot of smoke a lot of times, and sometimes there's no substance to it. What are you talking about? Where is it that I've done this? You say I'm this kind of a person. Why am I this kind of a person? And you know what happens a lot of times? There's dead silence because they can't answer those questions because they're ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. And that's the way we ought to live our lives, right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And you know what it is? It's just a bunch of ignorance. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 16. It says here, having a good conscience, and that's how we should live, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, you see, because that's what evildoers do. Because a Christian says, hey, can we work this out? And I see this problem here. Is there something we can do to fix it? But they're not just speaking evil of you. Look, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to find solutions for the problems and not seek to just... The Lord doesn't like when people sow discord among the brethren. whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. And then it says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. But do not forget that you always suffer, and don't try to get away from the suffering or away from people talking, because evil men will talk. Just don't. There's some stupid song that says, let's give them something to talk about. I think it's a country song. But don't give them something to talk about. And if you like that song, take the song and throw it away, because that's not biblical, right? Well, if they're going to say I'm this way, then I'm going to be this way. That would make them right. Do you want them to be right? Then don't do that. So what you're saying is you're right. Okay. Your enemies point out your faults. And then the Bible says, Proverbs 11:9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Romans 2. How much more verses do we have here? 4. Okay, quickly. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. The covenant that God made between man and him was signed by circumcision with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. It was the mark of the covenant that had its beginning with Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. To the Jews, the Gentiles were called uncircumcised dogs. Now the problem is that the Jew depended on this physical mark instead of the spiritual reality that represented as a true Jew, which had an inward spiritual experience of the heart and not just an outward physical operation. And you know what people do today? They make the same mistake. You ask them, are you a Christian? And they'll say, I've been baptized. Are you a Christian? And they'll say, will I do this or do that? Or I'm a church member. Are you a Christian? Will I keep the sacraments and I take the Lord's Supper? See, that it's not the physical thing that matters to the Lord, but it's the spiritual thing. It says, if therefore, in verse 26, therefore if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? So the Gentiles at the judgment will rise up with the Queen of Sheba, and they'll condemn the men of this generation. He says in verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision an outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. The Lord doesn't care about pedigree, he cares about conduct. Right? And then next week we'll go into chapter 3, which bridges the section 1 of Romans is sin, and the next section is salvation, and chapter 3 bridges that gap. Okay? And so we will go over that. So let's pray and we shall be dismissed. Lord, thank you, Father, for your great book. Thank you for this Bible. I pray that this lesson was a blessing to someone, help them learn. Thank you for teaching me through it, Father. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for people that are faithful. And even though they're busy and all these things, they make an effort to come out to church on Wednesday night to pray to you and read the scripture and learn and bring their children. And Father, I pray that you would bless their lives and Father, help them to see the fruit of that in their lives. Lord, we love you. We pray you protect us as we go our ways and bring us safely together when we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.